We're going to change topics now to talk about Fred Rogers. Earlier today, the legendary children's television host died at his home in Pittsburgh. He suffered from stomach cancer. From his trademark cardigan to his melodic whistle, Fred Rogers is embedded firmly in the minds and memories of many Americans. Although he had retired from daily television, over 900 episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood continue to run on PBS stations. This week's theme is noisy and quiet. Did you grow up watching Fred Rogers on TV? What was your favorite Mr. Rogers moment? Call us at 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now from Atlanta is Tom Juneau. He profiled Fred Rogers for Esquire magazine 4 years ago, and they have remained in touch since that time. Thanks so much for being with us today, Mr. Juneau.
Thank you.
Well, tell us about the first time that you met Fred Rogers.
I first met Fred on assignment. It was in 1998, and I went to see him at his apartment in New York.
And you stayed in touch with him after that?
Yeah, I talked to him this past Christmas, on Christmas morning.
That's unusual, wouldn't you say, for journalists to stay in touch that long with somebody that they just went to profile?
That's been my experience, yeah. But Fred was an unusual guy. I've never met anybody quite like him.
You learned a lot about his daily life off-screen. What surprised you most about that?
What surprised me about him was his really iron discipline. Most people thought of Fred as sort of a soft man, maybe even a weak man, but he was a rock. I mean, the most amazing fact that I can give you about Fred Rogers is that I was with him when he went swimming one morning, and he weighed himself, and he weighed 143 pounds exactly on the nose. And as it turns out, he had weighed 143 pounds every morning throughout this ritual since 1956, which is, I mean, when you think about that, I mean, think of what you or I must, you know, the fluctuations in weight.
I'd actually rather not think about
it. He stayed the exact same weight all through that time.
There was a great moment in the piece where you confessed to Mr. Rogers about a stuffed rabbit you had.
Yes.
And was he always reaching out for the child in each person he met?
Yes, without a doubt. He was one of those guys who saw through you immediately in a very non-threatening but at the same time highly specific way. He really kind of figured out rather quickly what people needed, and he tried his best to give it to them. And with me, he tried to give me his trust, and you know, it was one of a gift that was immediately received and appreciated.
Well, we have some emails here that get to that idea of how Mr. Rogers affected people. One says, with much delight, I remember having to explain to my boss that I was a bit late for work because I was watching Mr. Rogers. There was a segment on how erasers were made that really caught my attention. It was simply fascinating. Needless to say, I think of Fred Rogers every time I use my eraser at work.
I have a something here in my office. I left my pen in his apartment. And the next day, when I went to see him again, there was an envelope on his table, and it said, "This is Tom's pen." And it was in an envelope in perfect handwriting. And I've never opened that envelope. I'm looking at it right now because I always felt that there was, you know, who knows what magic could be in that pen. So I figured I'd leave it to a specific time.
And we all know that one of the greatest forms of flattery is when your act gets spoofed. And from Christopher Guest to Johnny Carson, a lot of comedians have done parodies of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. What may surprise some people is his response to those spoofs. Here's Fred Rogers from a November interview on Fresh Air with Barbara Bogave.
I think most of them were done with a great deal of affection. I remember meeting Eddie Murphy for the first time over at the RCA building. And he came out of his office, and I was walking down the hall, and he put his arms around me, and he said, "The real Mr. Rogers." And Mr. Carson, when I was with him one time, he said, "You know, Fred, we would never do these takeoffs about you if we didn't like you. We wouldn't care about making you famous."
We have some tape of that spoof. Here's Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live in 1983.
"And now, it's time for Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be my... could you be my... I always want to live in a house like yours, my friend. Maybe when there's nobody home, I'll break in. So a man's woman said she was rich, spent spent all the money, walked out on the bitch. Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Hello, boys and girls. See what these are, boys and girls? They're drums. That's a musical instrument, you know. Do you know where drums come from? From Africa. Know where these drums come from? Smokey Robinson was at the Apollo Theater and left his van open in the back of the place. I ripped them off. I wonder how Smokey gonna sound with no percussion.
That was Eddie Murphy spoofing Mr. Rogers on Saturday Night Live. Tom, do you know, did you talk to Fred Rogers about, what did he think about how people perceived him?
I think that to a degree that he didn't really talk about it or really care how people perceived him. He was the guy who did the work of perceiving others. I mean, he really did have that kind of radar into people's hearts and minds and souls, and I think that that was what he was interested in. I mean, when I saw him, I mean, he immediately turned the interview around. Immediately started interviewing me and trying to, you know, finding out all sorts of different stuff. And you know, a lot of times you resist that, but with Fred, I just went along with it.
Well, you know, it's that sweetness of his that people parody so much. And there's a very interesting email here about that. This comes from Montana. As a little girl, I never thought I would miss Mr. Rogers. I was a critical kid, and his relentless sweetness annoyed me. So at age 5, I wrote him a blunt letter. "You are not my favorite television show," I informed him. He wrote me back right away saying he was happy I was able to express my opinions so well. That response epitomizes his genuine caring and goodness, and it stayed with me as I grew up.
Yeah, he really was a very special guy that way.
All right, we're talking about Fred Rogers today. The number is 1-800-989-8255, and let's go to Elsie. Hi, Elsie.
Hi. When I was a little girl, I was afraid of flushing the toilet because of the noise. And Mr. Rogers had an episode where he had a toilet in his living room, and he showed the little teeny tiny hole and how there was no monsters, you couldn't fall in, and I've been a regular toilet flusher ever since.
Well, and his show was about that a lot of times, wasn't it? Little lessons that he gave to kids.
I mean, yeah, all the time. I think that he had a degree in child psychology or child development, and he was really aware of really what it was like to be a kid and really tried to put some light on that path.
Now, you've already written a eulogy, is that right?
Yeah, I wrote it this morning after I found out that he died.
Did you sit down right away?
Right away.
And what were your first thoughts?
My first thoughts was that a light had gone out of the world. I really absolutely believe that Fred really had sort of a power of goodness about him. And we live in very dark times, and Fred was one of the lights, and we need him. And that was my first reaction, was that when we need him most, Fred is gone from us, and it really... was quite devastating.
You wrote in your eulogy, I read your eulogy, you wrote a lot about the fact that how much he prayed, and I was interested by that because although he was an ordained minister, religion was clearly important to him, he really did not use that overtly on the show.
Never. I think that he personified grace. I do not believe that he used his TV to speak about it or to push his faith upon anybody else.
And yet prayer was very important to him.
I believe he prayed 2 hours or an hour and a half or at the very least an hour every day. He prayed for really vast numbers of souls, and it's remarkable. Every time I spoke to him, he told me that he was praying for me, for my wife, and for members of my family.
Tom Juneau is a writer at large for Esquire magazine. He's also a friend of Fred Rogers, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take another call now. Caroline, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I have a story. My 15-year-old son and I grew up on Mr. Rogers. And during the Ronald Reagan years, people would ask him when he was 2 years old, who was the president? And he would say, Ronnie Reagan. And someone was teasing him and said, who was the vice president? And he had no idea. And they said, well, who would take care of things if the president was sick? And he said, Mr. Rogers. Just imagine the possibilities.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks so much for your call, Carolyn. Let's now go to Carla, and I believe she's in Idaho. Carla?
Yes, hello.
Hi, go ahead, Carla.
Well, my deeper respect for Mr. Rogers began in 1985 on Christmas Day, and I had not really watched him or grown up with him, but in 1985, my daughter was a week old, and my son was 2.5 years old, and it was the first time we'd ever spent apart from our families. My husband was in graduate school, and I felt miserable because my son had had a bad day, and even though it was Christmas Day, and I sent him off to neighbors who said, can we take him to a movie? And I said, okay, yes, you can. And my husband was gone, and I was feeling so miserable about myself as a person and a mother. And I watched Mr. Rogers, and the show that day just happened to be about how, well, I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember sitting there holding my daughter and just sitting there in tears, and every time I think about this, because I so wanted to write him and thank him for helping me to feel better about who I am as a mother and as a person. And I agree with, a light has gone out of the world, and I appreciate what Mr. Rogers has done for children and his entire, his unrelenting desire to make television something good for humanity.
Oh, Carla, you're going to make us all cry.
Yeah. Sorry. Every time I was sitting there crying as I listened to all of you. So, sorry.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Let me read an email here. One of my favorite memories is one of a show about rainbows. He was trying to make a rainbow using a flashlight and a spray bottle, and he was getting very frustrated that it wasn't working. Finally, one of his neighbors brought a prism, and then he was finally able to make a rainbow. I was probably 5 or 6 at the time, and it was such a distinctive memory because you never saw adults on children's TV get frustrated or upset that something didn't work. What a visionary to show kids that it's okay to be frustrated. And he did that in such subtle kinds of ways on that show. I mean, sometimes it was almost mesmerizing as an adult to watch it because he just was so calm and quiet in the way he did things.
Well, you know, he was a guy who really tried to humanize the medium, and he did it amazingly. It was this mass medium, and yet he tried to do it, you know, one human at a time. And I think as these phone calls and emails attest, he succeeded in that. His achievement of that way is just remarkable.
Okay, let's go to Scott in Modesto, California. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that he touched so many lives of children and adults that not since Walt Disney passed away, I don't think that it will be felt, that it has been felt as much as the loss of Fred Rogers. My kids watched the show. I watched the show when I was younger, and even now I occasionally will catch it. It's just really sad.
Well, thanks so much for your call. And I just have to read this one email. Here's an idea for those of you who are mourning. I'm 32 years old and grew up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. My coworkers and I plan on wearing cardigan sweaters Friday as a remembrance to such an icon of our generation.
I heard a story. A friend sent me an email this morning saying that he had gone to the post office, and he was there, and one of the mail clerks said to the other mail clerks, hey, my man Mr. Rogers died. And the three of them plus two other employees came out in the post office and sang, you know, the neighborhood song.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome, Neil. Lynn.
Tom Juneau is a writer at large for Esquire magazine, and he's also a friend of Fred Rogers. Here's Mr. Rogers singing The Clown in Me from 1977.
I think I'm better than the rest. It's times like this I act myself. And I let the clown stay on the shelf. Myself, myself, I think I'll be myself. I think I'll let the people see the comfortable inside of me. Myself, I'll be myself. It's only when I feel let down, I might be scared into a clown. But he can be himself
when I can be myself.
In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.
I think I'll be myself.